California. Here's May.
Good evening. This is May Brussel in Carmel, California. It's broadcast number 502, August the 2nd, 1981. Most of you have read in the newspapers this weekend that General Torrijos from Panama, the ex-president, was killed in a plane crash this week. He was described in the news media as a dictator with a heart. Jimmy Carter, the former president who used Torrijos, he sent the Shah down there and had close contacts with him, described him as a man he admired who was wise and effective as a leader. And Torrijos' reason for resigning last year was that he got tired of being called, in quotes, a dictator, so he stepped down and took control of the National Guard. Another article describing his recent activity explains that he assisted the left-wing Sandinista National Liberation Front and helped overthrow President Somoza and had a close friendship with Fidel Castro. Torrijos is a strong man, was a strong man in Panama, and he was the object of drug investigations at the time of the Watergate exposés. His name came up in 1972, 73, when I wrote the Senate Select Committee as part of the cover-up. I described a team of people working in the Watergate affair that went back to Richard Nixon's early activities when he was a member of Congress, before he was president, and up to the Watergate arrests and all of those events now. People involved in those events are in the news at this time. Nothing has changed very much except their positions, and there was a necessity, I'm sure, to kill Torrijos, more having to do with the chase of Robert Vesco and the exposés of some of these teams that are beginning to become unglued through various articles, books, and investigations, and I think it was time to unload Torrijos. I wrote in 1973 about this assassination team that had overthrown the president in Guatemala in 1954, Richard Nixon's Latin American tour with Colonel Vernon Walters of the CIA, and Walters now is suggested as possibly becoming the director of the CIA if Casey is pushed out of office. And I mentioned several weeks ago that Walters was the person who he worked with Mr. Contreras, the Nazi, down in Chile, and there was correspondence saying that he wouldn't disapprove of people missing and torture, that he was one of their people. He was deputy director of the CIA at time of Watergate, and I was writing about him then, and now he may become the director of the CIA. I described in 73 also in that article the crisis of the Bay of Pigs and Richard Nixon's involvement and the very people behind the bloodbath in El Salvador now, and the Honduras and Guatemala and Central America and South America, and the murder of Allende and later Orlando Letelier and Sandra Moffat, the same people were behind the Bay of Pigs operation together and the murder of John Kennedy assassination. And in that article, I said there were plans to assassinate the president of Panama at that time. In 1971, the operation intercept of E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy had to do with the president of Panama, Torrijos, who was not cooperating in the control of narcotics. And one of their jobs at the time of Watergate that was uncovered was their plans to kill him. But now with Vesco, as I say, on the lam, he was kicked out of the Bahamas just this week, and with a lot of exposure of Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson and Theodore Shackley. There's a whole entourage of people whose names I use every week on the air. Recently, it was time to get rid of old Torrijos, and he got it. I also mentioned in that same article about the ITT Chile connections to the CIA and Watergate, and it was William Casey who's being called back now for taking documents on the ITT that the Watergate Committee asked him for and throwing them into the hands of the Justice Department and hiding them from the Watergate Committee, saying the Justice wanted them, and the Justice Department later saying they didn't want them. So Casey's under investigation as director of the CIA, and this whole team, William Casey and General Walters and all of them, go back to the Guatemalan coup in 54, the various affairs of getting Richard Nixon into power, the Bay of Pigs, the murder of John Kennedy, the U-2 affair over the Soviet Union, the ITT affair, the Chilean affair, and what we have in office in Washington today are the very same people that I was writing about in 1973. This is 81, and that's quite a few years back, but they're all struggling with each other, and so I guess it was time to get rid of Torrijos because General Haig wants to work in Central America, and Torrijos is a very important man for in terms of blackmailing what he knows about the drug operations and the multinational investments in that part of the world. Also in Panama, this very kind person that Jimmy Carter described ran the school down there for torture and police training for all of Latin America, for Paraguay, Uruguay, and also for American policemen that were sent down there and trained for SWAT teams to learn how to do people in. I referred 2 weeks ago to the military coups or the near murders that have taken place, changes of governments ever since the inauguration of Ronald Reagan, the attempted coup in Spain in February, the attempted coup to murder Ronald Reagan, and we'll do more on that in a few minutes, in March, the attempt to take over Dominica, and that also links to General Haig and Ronald Reagan, and next week I hope to go into details with you on the Dominica again and getting back to that story. Then the near murder of the Pope, the murder of the President of Ecuador, the near coup in Italy when Lucio Gelli fled down to Argentina, the Nazi attempt to take over the Italian government, the murder of the President of Bangladesh, the near murder of the Algerian foreign minister, the attempted coup in Greece to stop Andreas Papandreou from running for office there, the elections come soon, the attempt to kill President and Mrs. Marcos, which again is linked to the what I call the ungluing of the various missing millions and billions out of bank accounts linked to organized crime and bank failures and drug traffic. And the Marcos, of course, are very much a part of that. And in May, the plot to kill the King and Queen of Spain again. And in March, there was the plan to sabotage Mrs. Gandhi's airplane in India. I'll refer in a few minutes to the coup in Gambia. I believe that the King and Queen of Spain couldn't go to the wedding of Philip and Prince Charles and Lady Di. She called him Philip, so I'll call him Philip, because they would probably lose their throne with a coup. There's still restless military there celebrating Franco's anniversaries. And, of course, there was a coup in Gambia. A fellow went to Great Britain to the wedding and found he didn't have a throne when it was over. And we'll talk in a moment about the assassination attempt on Gaddafi that was probably planned for the same time as the wedding and the killing of Torrijos and the Gambia takeover in Africa. One item of interest to many people who follow this broadcast for a long time, I've done many programs on Michael Sindona, and I'll be doing many more. That's that interesting fellow who was a lawyer, a president of several banks in Milan and Luxembourg and Swiss accounts handling millions and millions of dollars. He's now in jail for a $45 million lapse in the Franklin National Bank in New York. Sindona has been charged with murder. The Houston Post had this article. The prosecutors in Milan have charged him for the murder of the leading investigator of his affairs. He's right now in a New York prison. But I did several broadcasts on the witnesses to the Sindona Vatican finances and the tangled web of them to organize crime and the Gambino family. And this goes back to the reason I believe the Pope was shot and silenced at the time he was. Well, Sindona now has been charged in a murder for the person who was investigating his case. He did leave New York and go to Italy. And this Lucio Gelli, who fled to Argentina, who was planning a coup in Italy in May of this year, was linked to Michael Sindona and Sindona's trip to Italy. So the great lawyer and financier for the Vatican, the protege of Pope Paul VI, is now charged with murder in Milan. There's another death this week, not a murder, and I'll mention it just briefly in passing and get back to it hopefully in the weeks to come. That's Ed Pauley, the oil man and political figure in Los Angeles. Not murdered, he died a nice old age. Ed Pauley was a very important person because for one thing, he covered a man named Ed Butler and hired him. He was in military intelligence, and under the guise of Ed Pauley's employment, this character made a record in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald, who was working with Navy intelligence, and Oswald wanted an excuse to get into Cuba just as he had been in the Soviet Union. So he made a record down in New Orleans saying that he was a Marxist. And that record was sold commercially and I have a copy of the record, and they're available, of Lee Harvey Oswald, the Marxist. And the purpose of the recording with Ed Butler, military intelligence working with Ed Pauley, was so that he could apply to go to Cuba as he had been in the Soviet Union. And the moment Oswald was made the patsy for the John Kennedy assassination, the record was played all over the world to show that a Marxist had killed John Kennedy. That was in the offices. Ed Butler worked for Edwin Pauley, as described as a great political figure. And he was. He also had Ed Butler publish the very first article after the Sharon Tate LaBianca murders, called "Did Hate Kill Tate?" And this article goes into Black Panthers and how the blacks probably went into the white neighborhood and did these killings and spread the terrorism. Then later you found out it was some very white, devout Christian people like Charles Watson and Sue Atkins, who's now engaged to a very wealthy Texas oilman. And these people expect to get out. In fact, Watson said that members of organized crime are helping him to try to get out of San Luis Obispo. Those are the people that murdered the family, Sharon Tate's friends and herself and her baby, and the LaBiancas. It wasn't Charles Manson that was in the family. But the cover for all of this was under Edwin Pauley, and I'll do more on his organization in time. I just want to mention that he did pass away. Last week we were talking about the Newsweek article that would be coming out. The CIA plans got protests from members of the House that were watching Director Casey, and part of the problem with William Casey was the plans to kill Gaddafi, the committee that keeps control of the intelligence operations stopped this operation from going. And after the broadcast Sunday night, the San Francisco Chronicle the next morning, or rather Examiner, had a headline story, CIA plan to kill Gaddafi. And there's a long story, Casey's in trouble over reported plan to kill Gaddafi. And that same week, Newsweek had a large story with Gaddafi on the cover, the most dangerous man in the world. Of course, they don't take into account all the American money and the millions of dollars and the funding of Gaddafi for the weapons, the assassination tombs. They go into it a little bit, but they call him the most dangerous man, just as they referred to Hitler as a dangerous, cruel man, and for years denied the fact of who was funding Hitler or arming Hitler, and Gaddafi seemed to be the fall guy. So the cover of the major magazines the week that he was supposed to be killed had him the most dangerous man in the world, so you wouldn't mind if the man was bumped off, because, after all, look how dangerous he is. And Newsweek had a picture of the plan to overthrow Gaddafi, and they brought up the problem of Director William Casey and the CIA, among his other problems. And they also have pictures of the people that would replace Casey if he goes out. Newsweek, this is August the 3rd, 1981. It came out last Tuesday. They have General Walters and some very mean guys, Mr. Graham, who was director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and people that would take over if Casey was out. But all of a sudden, Casey didn't go for that, and Casey was pulled back in, and the committee changed their minds. He's a fine fellow. He's still under trouble, and they've hired Fred Thompson, a Watergate attorney, to go into the Casey matter. But they changed their story, and then the San Francisco Chronicle the next day said, no, the sources for the CIA plot were wrong. They were going to go into Mauritania. Now, I doubt if all that trouble about William Casey had to do with Mauritania. You couldn't even find it on a map. It's described as poor Muslim West African nation, a target for a coup. And if you want to read about it, they've had a political upheaval and problems with officials, the prime minister, and 11 people were killed in a plane crash in 1979 off the ocean. One president resigned shortly after the prime minister was killed. That was his buddy, and I guess he had a little guilt over that one. But all of a sudden, the Libya action was wrong, and again, the news media followed through. The real aim was Mauritania. Now, you can't think of four good reasons why Casey would be in trouble if the CIA would attempt at this time to overthrow Mauritania. So the Gaddafi story was very nicely covered up, I'm sure, with all kinds of threats of blackmail. We don't know why, but Casey is in. It's a week later since I discussed William Casey, but he's in, but still in trouble and being investigated. And, of course, the big story is it links to Robert Vesco and the investment overseas, the cornfield outfit, because, again, this whole group that I have named on the air over and over again in the last few weeks, their names, I hope, will become familiar to you because they're in a series of operations of continuous assassinations, coups, killing public officials for a long period of time since World War II was over. And in the 50s and 60s, they really went hog wild, and they've been going ever since. People like Michael Townley that I mentioned in that book on Death in Washington, the murder of Letelier, who murdered 15 people for the CIA, worked with investment overseas and with Bernie Kornfield and William Casey. And Casey's under fire for his Vesco connection. So, and he covered up the murder of Allende and Letelier in Washington, D.C. And the CIA is linked to all these operations, and practically everyone in Washington or anybody who really wants to know will realize that these names are interconnecting and that they are being exposed from various people all at one time, such as Seymour Hersh in the New York Times, the Village Voice, Alexander Cockburn, and many independent magazines and articles. There are many, many articles naming these characters like Vernon Walters, William Casey, Robert Vesco, Edwin Wilson, Frank Turpel, Theodore Shackley. And when the truth is told, and it would be nice if they just did it and told the truth and got these people out, we could stop all the hanky-panky. But right now, Casey's on a yo-yo and a string because they can't afford to fire him, and they can't afford to keep him on because of his activities. Now, the person that was making charges against Mr. Casey, his accuser, has been missing from the firm. He allegedly took $3.3 million, and they're looking through the books for the McNeil brothers. They've gone, and nobody has found them, and they have an agency, the Triad Energy Corporation, and they've taken a powder since the accusations against Casey. I don't know whether they'll end up in the back of a compressor of a car the way that Jimmy Hoffa did, or in a drum with their arms and legs cut off, or if they'll show up at all. There are so many people with pieces of the puzzles of conspiracies and assassinations out now, such as Edwin Wilson and Theodore Shackley, Samuel Cummings, and Michael Sindona, Frank Turpel wanting to make a movie in England, Sindona sitting in a jail in New York wanting to talk. That goodness knows where the axe is going to fall next, but there's going to be a continuous amount of murders and disappearances of witnesses, as there are every day. I'm cutting out and have a pile of articles, more than I can do once a week on this program. Now they're pulling out, according to the San Francisco Examiner, the story of the McNeil's missing brother, the mysterious death. And the deputy assistant in charge of the FBI is saying that Samuel and Thomas McNeil, the men that blew the whistle on Mr. William Casey, director of the CIA, and these two men are missing. There's a suspicion that their brother was murdered. At the time, they said that he died of natural causes, and now they're looking into the story of the death. This is the group that broke the story of Max Ugel, the CIA spy chief that worked with William Casey, and Ugel was out. Now the brother of the missing men involved in the illegal stock deals, which again will go back to Robert Vesco and Bernie Kornfield in that group, Dennis McNeil, the third brother, the one that died last year of natural causes, they think that he has been murdered because they have come out now and said that he had been abducted and beaten twice before his death on June the 1st. And so while all this turmoil is going, one brother is dead, and now they're reconstructing the story that maybe he was murdered, or the belief that he was murdered. And the Chicago Tribune had a long article just this last week. The CIA director's record reveals risky ventures and controversy. It's a long article. It goes into the ITT and the Vesco cases. And those are the big cases. As I say, the Bobby Vesco, Robert Vesco links to the past assassinations, to organized crime, to the way the Democratic and Republican parties have covered up these crimes. And Casey in the CIA from the OSS days, when it was first formed into the CIA, had to be a part of all of these operations. So what is coming out now is a tangled web in all of the news stories, not quite charging them with the real crimes that they should be charged with, that we talk about on this program, the continuous murder of politicians and figures to stand in the way of the election of Ronald Reagan or Richard Nixon, including Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy, the civil rights leaders like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Those are just the largest number of a list of about 200 people that have been murdered, and public officials keep dying off or almost die and can die from complications later. There was an article in the Houston Post this last week, organized crime office to be closed in Texas despite concerns of Senator Lloyd Benson. The Texas Organized Crime Prevention Council, the Justice Department, is closing its one-man office in Dallas. Now, this is a time where there's never been more narcotics coming in, more deaths of narcotic people, larger loads of people, $22 million, $2 million, $4 million of narcotics. The Dallas office, which is the only office, is being closed. And it's being closed by the Assistant Attorney General, D. Lowell Jensen, who heads the department's criminal division, who's closing the Dallas office for narcotics. Now, Jensen is the man I warned you about on various programs. He was in California. He was the district attorney up in Alameda County, who was heavily involved with the San Quentin Six affair, the shooting of the judge up in Marin County, with various covert operations, the SLA, the Romero Little trial. He has been part of the network of California counterintelligence, what I call the violence of the CIA terror team going through the whole state of California. But he's very important up in Alameda area, the Chowchilla affair and so forth. Now, he went on to Washington for Ronald Reagan's appointment to the assistant in the Justice Department. Now, remember, Ronald Reagan's inauguration, there was Frank Sinatra, a long history of association with organized crime, giving the inaugural ball. Paul Laxalt, former governor of Utah, of Nevada, who's the senator from Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, the heart of the crime syndicate, the Hughes organization, Robert Mayhew, Mo Dalitz, the whole interlocking link of organized crime. G. Robert Blakey came out with a report on the Kennedy assassination, their $6 million investigation, Jack Ruby, and the various assassins linked to organized crime. Then Ronald Reagan appoints Mr. Jensen from California, his long-term counterintelligence cover-up chief from California with a notorious record, who is the assistant in the criminal division and in charge of this division, who's closing the Dallas office. The volume of organized crime, according to the Houston Post, from drug conspiracies was not sufficient to require a full-time presence in Dallas or anywhere in Texas. He insisted that this wasn't necessary, and they agreed. The Houston Post said there's mafia influence everywhere in Texas, particularly Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, urban area, but there's no evidence of criminal activity that's concentrated in any one group or mafia family. Now, with so many people linked to organized crime behind the President of the United States, why does there have to be one family that stands out to be singled out in order to have a drug group, or organized crime prevention group in Texas? So the whole state of Texas, as of September, will be without this unit, the Organized Crime Prevention Council. And our California man, Mr. Jensen, in the Justice Department, has closed the office. Going on now in New Orleans is the trial against Carlos Marcello, the big daddy of organized crime. He's been charged with racketeering and conspiracy and bribery, mail and wire fraud. He was named as a possible assassin in arranging the assassination of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. He's never been prosecuted. He's the defendant in a case with Irv Davidson, another man from the National Security Council, the highest public official involved in the various assassinations and assassination teams. And, of course, they are very close to Robert Vesco and interlocking links to Bernie Kornfield Vesco and Clint Murchison and Edward Bennett Williams. The whole ball of wax is coming to the surface in various cities and various trials. This is a Brilab trial in New Orleans that is they're charged for offenses that are minor compared to the assassination work, but at least they're charged, and that's going on at the present time, the question of bribe money in New Orleans. There is an article in Penthouse this month on they have running a series of the men around Ronald Reagan, and this one is about his great attorney general, William French Smith. There's one quotation in here. It says, on the same evening in April, this is the time when Frank Sinatra's birthday party for the Attorney General, William French Smith, on that same evening in April, that two Cuban exiles' conviction in the 1976 Orlando Letelier assassination was overturned, Smith, William French Smith, dined at the Chilean embassy in Washington. Request for the extradition of top Chilean secret police officials who were charged by Jimmy Carter's Justice Department were still outstanding. So William French Smith is wining and dining the two men charged with Letelier's murder. That brings in again George Bush, the vice president, Vernon Walters, Frank Turple, Edwin Wilson, the whole CIA gang, and the people in power, from a man who may become the director of the CIA, like Vernon Walters, or our own vice president. Our attorney general is over there with Mr. Pinochet's embassy having dinner the night that the two Chileans had been released and the decision was overturned on the Orlando Letelier murder. If anything was clear about that assassination, it was the guilt and role of the CIA, and all of our CIA officials are very close to Chile and have been for a long time. I mentioned last week some of the people that weren't going to the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Di. One of them I read a few days later after I was on the air here was Australia's Fraser refused to go to the wedding. Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser on Saturday before the wedding called off his trip to London. Now that's a fellow, he blamed his labor problems, but Fraser's name just came out a week and a half ago in the Village Voice 2 weeks ago. The role of the Nguyen Bank in Australia, the way the CIA manipulated the government, the way that Fraser's opponent was silenced and removed from the electoral possibility of winning, and how really Fraser owed his ability to be prime minister to the CIA and the Nguyen Bank and those various scoundrels from the Phoenix program in Southeast Asia and Vietnam, the assassination teams. He didn't want to go because of labor problems. He's another one, like the King and Queen of Spain, that might have been overturned if he'd set foot out of that country. And again, there was this article, African leader ousted while at royal wedding. He should have called me. I'd tell him to stay home. He lost his throne in his country because Gambia, he attended the wedding, and when he arrived in England, the country was overthrown. It's an important country. It's tiny, but any country that's on the coast of water, right on the Atlantic Ocean, any country that borders the water is important, just as in Jonestown, Port Kaituma was important to Jim Jones and the CIA, for leaving there quickly, getting on boats and getting out, for gun running, for narcotics traffic. It's nice to have an open port. It doesn't matter if Gambia is any bigger than Catalina Island. It's an open port, and it's nice to be able to control the waterfront. And I'm sure that as we watch the activity in Senegal, the country that is right next to Gambia and Guinea, we'll know why this coup took place. But it was a good time to do it while he was out in the, you know, enjoying the wedding. I'm going to talk about the wounds of Ronald Reagan that were described in the newspaper last week and the way the news media lies to us. The important thing, it was two important things. One is that the wounds were more serious and all those one-line jokes were not so very funny, and we might have known that from the kind of surgery he had. But also the way the news media lies to us with this paternalism and thinks that they can tell us what is good for us to know. I might have mentioned it briefly last week, but I don't know how many of you saw the article, the Associated Press story, Reagan, after surgery, faced new medical crisis. That's important because I believe that he was in danger, and I did mention on this broadcast I was suspicious of that automobile that pulled up with a photograph, blood for Ronald Reagan. I think that the Georgetown Hospital would have enough blood supply for three or four people. And if they didn't, and there were major wounds and a lot of surgery, they would bring in a bulk of blood and not that earmarked just for Ronald Reagan. So I was suspicious of that. We'll take a one-minute break, and I want to get back to the wounds of Ronald Reagan because I think that's important.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.